I have other things to do now. Look at how you have kept me. I don't know who you are, but I know one or two of you are there. I know when things like this happen. Don't worry. Let me prophesy for you who have been holding me here. God will give you light, and he will solve that problem for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. He will give you understanding. He will give you revelation. You will know that indeed you are free and that your life is in stages. That you may be in a stage right now where things are rough, but that's because life is in stages. You know what the Bible calls seed time. In a short while, you will come into your harvest season in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, don't wrongly interpret the affairs of your life. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Like I said, I just got stuck there. Let me just, for the time we have left, I have two things to say. Let me say one, and then maybe next time I'll be able to say the other one. Let's open our Bibles quickly. Now remember, we're talking about how faith works in prayer. We've been talking about that. I just went into all of that, trying to explain that sometimes Christians have problems, and I just got stuck. I believe I was ministering to some people. All right? How does faith work? We've said God is the only one we need. We don't need anybody else on this earth. That's one point we've made. Faith is a habit. I've established that. It's a habit. It's not just one great thing that you're trying to get by yourself to solve a difficult problem. As sometimes God will breathe into you what the Bible calls the gift of faith. That's what is called the gift of faith. Like I said the other time, it comes upon people. I said it last week. It comes upon people who love God. It comes upon them. But the normal faith you need is a faith that's a habit. Habit of trusting totally in God. But we're saying, how does it work in prayer? That one is baseline. Let's not talk about the things we are requesting from the Lord specifically. Let's read two scriptures. First of all, open to the book of Matthew chapter 20. Let's use that one. There are two things I said I need to add to that. One of them, I preached about it when we're talking about the gospel according to Ruth, but we can't say these things enough. We just keep on saying them. In the gospel according to Ruth, I talked about take heed to your spirit. Please, if you were not here then, in fact, it's good whether you were there or not, go and listen to that series again. Take heed to your spirit. You know, as Christians, we must be careful that we don't ask God to be doing things that he said we shouldn't do. Are you getting my point? That the God does not want to do something, we'll not turn into a prayer point, we'll be praying that he should do it. He's already said to us specifically, don't do those things. We do that a lot in prayer because we don't know exactly what we're asking for. We ask for a request that if God were to grant, he'll be telling us not to walk by faith. The book of Matthew chapter 20, we'll start from verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, bowing down and making a request. Everybody say a request. All right. If you read from the book of Mark, he just talked about the people coming, the young men coming themselves. All right, and they made a request of him in verse 21. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, command that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine may sit, one on your left, one on your right, and one on your left. Then he answered and said, you do not know what you are asking for. It's possible to be making requests, you don't know what it means. You do not know what you are asking for. He said, are you able to drink the cup I am able to drink? I'm about to drink. And they said to him, we are able. That's the boys. And he said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. Now, please, why I read this is to bring out that issue again. Two important things about faith, which I should add to the fact that we must have God as our only source. Number one is that we must know if we are making requests, what we are really asking for. It's very important. You know, Ian Kat told me the other day that he read the book again. You know, I won't mention the name of the book so as not to try to undermine the author. We're talking about if you want to ask God for something, be totally specific. All right? That if you're asking God for a car, tell him the color. Tell him the make. Tell him the engine size, the color of the man who put the last paint on it when the car was coming out, all those kind of fine details. I want to address that again. He said, you do not know what you are asking. How does faith work in prayer? One of the things Jesus was telling us in effect is let's know what we are asking for when we are making our requests to God. There's one example I've given a lot of times, and I must not forget to give such examples once in a while. Sometimes people are asking God for things that will replace God in their lives. And that's why he doesn't answer. They sit every day. They are asking for a particular job. And the way they are asking, they are not trying to be productive. They are not trying to learn. They are just trying to have that job become the supplier of all their needs. You understand? They want to be able to raise their shoulders also around. So every day they are making requests. What God is hearing is not what they are asking. Are you getting my point? So he's telling to, saying to them, you don't know what you are asking for. Like I see all the time, a man tells you, I need to marry. Why are you? What do you want to marry? You know, I need somebody to cook my food. You know, those kind of things. I said, just go and hire a maid. You don't need to marry. So you will pray and pray and pray. Because every day somebody will knock, please, good morning, sir. Do you have work here? Is God answering your prayer? You are looking for a cook, not a wife. Are you getting my point? Other people are praying, God, give me a husband, give me a husband. God says, see, you don't understand. You don't need a husband, you need a bouncer. Because why are you asking for a husband? Last time somebody insulted in your traffic, if I was married now, I would have called my husband. God said, no problem. I'll give you a very tough, big boyfriend. You know, a man who's just chasing you, and he'll be very happy to help you beat everybody. Be a boxer. But every day you are there praying. But what God is hearing, you understand, is not what you think you're asking for. As I preached then, I said, you must get our definitions right. You must get your definition right. You don't make requests that will make God think that you are asking him to create an idol to compete with him in your life. It's very important we understand that. All right, so Jesus said to these people, you do not know what you are asking. People said that when you want that car, pray like this. I said before, you must purify. In fact, these are the two things. The second one is that you must purify your motives. It's very important. Know what you're asking, how faith works in prayer. Three things I want to teach about it. One, we finished. Have God only as the source. Number two, all right, know what you're asking for. And number three, you must purify your motives. That's the one I talked about when I talked about taking heed to your spirit. It's very important. You must purify your motives. Let's sit on this, what you're asking for. So they said that, okay, if you want a car, describe the size of the rim. Let me say to you, again, in simple terms, it is not that kind of specificity we are talking about. Should you be specific? Yes. The color of the car, in all honesty, if it is not important to you, don't bother. You create more doubt in your prayer life if you introduce such things, all right, than if you don't say talk about them at all. If the color is not important, let's assume you want a car to be a taxi, and they say in the whole of Africa, no repainting of color. I'm just giving as an example. It doesn't happen. Does it happen like that? No. And yet, the now said in Nenugu, all the taxis must be yellow. It makes sense to pray for a yellow car. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? But as things are, you know that's not the situation. If you buy it black, you paint it yellow. So that is not a serious matter. And a lot of times what you want to use it for, the color is totally irrelevant. Let nobody put your soul under pressure to be asking God for the specific color of the car. They say, a man did it. I'm not saying he did not do it. All right? I'm not saying he didn't do it. I'm just saying, is that the proper thing to do? The answer is no. Let's not make rules out of personal experiences. Are you getting my point? We cannot make rules about prayer out of personal experiences. He said, you do not know what you're asking. What was the problem with these people? They thought the positions they were asking for were positions of power. Positions of influence will be important people. Will decide who's coming to see him and who's not coming to see him. They did not realize that that's not what those positions were for. They didn't know that these were positions for those who want to be beheaded. They did not realize that these are positions for those who want to hang on the cross. Those that they will stick a spear into their side. Those that they will crucify upside down. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? That's what I mean. So people say that, okay, you must be specific. I say, no. If I have to pray for God for something, like, let's take that car as an example. I describe precisely what I want. If the roads are very bad, it makes sense not to have a car that's very low. Say, Lord, please, I know you love me, but please don't give me a Lamborghini. Are you getting my point? It's a sports car. Speed limit is, in fact, even if there's no speed limit, there's checkpoint limit. Are you getting my point? Before you finish accelerating from here to there, you see somebody don't stop in front. There's broken down truck limit. You know, there are things that are just impractical for your society. So the road is rough. Lord, I think an SUV will be good. Why? Because the road is rough. I don't want a car that will spend half of my salary buying fuel. No, it's true. I was discussing with Israel yesterday. I said, once I stopped to buy fuel. This was about 2 years ago. I was going home. I wasn't sure there was fuel down. I was going to see my mom, the whole family. So I said, let me fill up the tank very well before we take off from Benin. We just left my in-laws and now going to see my mom. When the guy finished filling the tank, told me the amount, I counted money I paid him. He said, oh God, that's my 1 month salary. That is, you just filled your tank with what I work for a whole month. That if they dashed him my vehicle, you know, that truck, Americans call it a truck, if they dashed it to him, he shouldn't drive it. It's against the will of God. So the kind of things you come to church, say, praise the Lord laid it upon me to show a sheet into this ministry. They will know that you are delivering yourself from troubles. Say, pastor, here are the keys. Oh, they say this brother is faithful. No, his brother is wise. The brother wants to live long. I still remember very well, one Texas going Benin. I counted money, the guy shook his head. Like, my God. This guy just bought fuel for what I have to work for almost 30 days to collect. You dash him that car, it's not a blessing. It's not a blessing. Like the story I was telling you about, people say, buy land, hey, buy land. I said, wait, when you don't have, they tell you it's an asset. Buy it first. You know it's a headache. That's how they'll be coming to you regularly. So they say, everybody should contribute $50,000 for this particular thing, you contribute. After a while, they say, the community said this and that is. After a while, you ask yourself, do I own this land or the land owns me? No, it gets to a point, you start asking, who owns who? I told you then when I was in Lagos, people say, buy car, I say, I'm sorry, I can't afford it. I said, listen, they say, you, one day, one of my uncles came and said, someone wanted to sell a B2 for $25,000. And here and now, we have been in this business. Like, they used to run a car shop, and I used to hang around there a lot. So I knew he knew about cars. I said, bros, 25K V2. What state is he in? Ah, he said, no. When you spend under 25K, you go good. Ah! I said, no. I know they do. One of my colleagues did. In another way. I've told this story many times. He would drive the car for 2 days. The car would drive him for 3 days. After that, I said, you know, that when I was in Lagos, I used to trek with pride. Though. I said, my car can never break down. Because if it breaks down, I join the next one. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But for those who had just that one, when it breaks down, you're on your own. Thank God there was no last one at that time. I said, Bishop Oyedepo said, the blessing of God comes at the time they will not become a curse. He said, they may be slow, but they are sure. I used to quote that in all the time. I said, I'm not going to queue for fuel. Why? Because my shoes don't need fuel. It was a stage. That's the point I'm going to make. It was a stage. Many times people, those days, they were praying for things. God, I want it. I want it. God said, listen, you don't need it. I know you think you want it. All right? You want it and you think you need it. And I'm saying to you, you do not need it. So people say, absolutely specific. I said, no, I don't believe in that. I believe in know exactly what you want. I want to be comfortable, as an example. Nothing wrong with that. I was talking about that car. The roads are bad. I need something that is high. Doesn't consume too much fuel. Everybody has a personal like and dislike, you understand? Somebody like me, I have this personality, just me. I don't know where it came from. I think it's in my spirit. I don't know. Just the way I'm made. I don't like things that are small. If you give me a big car and a small car at the same price, I take the big one. I know people that they prefer the small one. You hear of sports cars? I've admired sports cars. I've never wanted to own one. I like things like technology. I'm one of those. In fact, one day, a young man was selling cars, so I was asking him questions. Ah, explain this thing. By the time I finished talking with him, he said that I used to say I knew about cars, but I don't think I know as much as you do. Now, why am I talking about that? If I see a car magazine, I'll pick it and read, and I know a lot of stuff. How long it takes those days, a Ferrari Testarossa to accelerate from 0 to 60 miles an hour? I could give it to you. compared to that of a Lamborghini. I'll give all those things. But do you know, I've never wanted to own one. Why? I said, I don't like the idea of feeling as if I'm sitting on the road. And these are things you drive almost lying down. No, that's the way they are designed. They say if you buy then, I don't know which Ferrari is running now, but those days it was a Ferrari Testarossa. You have to go and train yourself in how to drive almost lying down. A man, police seized his car because there was a court case against him, judgment against him. They had to beg him to come and submit the car. That no government official was willing to risk driving it. They had to beg him, sir, Mr. Prisoner, when will you have time to go home and go and bring the car for us so we can lock it? Some people like it. I like a feeling when I'm on the road. I feel like, you know, I feel very high. You know, maybe because I'm in Nigeria, bad road, so you are used to this thing, they affect your mentality. I don't know. So our personal preferences, I ask God for all of these things. And listen to me, I leave the rest to Him. That's what I mean by know what you are asking for. Actually, this is totally tied to purifying your motives. I'm talking about faith now. Don't forget, what I'm talking about is what? Faith. Because there's something about being double-minded. Let's quickly read that. You know, there's something that James said. Let's talk about that purifying your motives again. James chapter 4. Then we'll talk about double. We'll read both of them, James chapter 1 and James chapter 4. Let's just read the two of them. And then maybe we'll finish this next time. I will talk about purifying your motives next time, but let me just read the scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 5 said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, verse 7 is where I want to sit. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? He said, being a double-minded man, he is unstable in all his ways. That is, if your heart is not steady, if your heart is not settled on a thing, you reduce the likelihood of God answering that prayer. Let me say it again. We'll talk about, maybe along, we've been talking about here and there, about persistence, perseverance, patience. If your heart is not steady, what was James telling us? Don't expect that God will give you anything. Now that's why it's so important you observe this law of faith I'm talking about. That is, make sure you know what you're asking before you begin to pray. You don't just be changing your mind recklessly. And one way by which I've talked about, one, being having your desires settled on the word of God. Yes, that's true, but that's not what I want to talk about today. I'm talking about the fact that you be conscious of precisely what you're asking God for. Not as in being so specific that you know the color. Because the color does not matter. It's going to cause your heart to be wobbly. Are you getting my point? Today you are going to like red. Tomorrow is going to be blue. The following day is going to be green. Then a car will just pass in front of you. Wow. Which shade of yellow is that? That's it. This is reducing the likelihood that you will get an answer. So things that are easy to change like that, what do? Leave them out. It's not part of your prayer point. Because that's how faith works. Your heart must be steady. That's what I'm trying to explain all of these things. Your heart is, God is the source. What am I asking God my source for? Let your heart be steady. If you're asking God for security, God, let me be safe. I want to be safe. I don't want any troubles. Stop asking God for four armed policemen with, no, how do you call it, with AK-47. That's not a good prayer point. That's what I'm trying to explain. How God brings security, none of your business. What do you want? Security, safety. You want to sleep at night and not be worried about what is going on behind the fence or what's going on down the street. You want to be able to sleep and not be disturbed. That's what you want. Ask specifically for that. Are you getting my point? If God decides to now locate a detachment of armed mobile policemen somewhere close in your neighborhood, That's his business. If he decides to eradicate all kinds of crimes within a 100 kilometers radius of where you live, that's his business. If he decides to relocate you from where you are to another place, that's his business. But don't make any of those things specific requests. They are unnecessary. What they do is that they weaken your faith. That's the point I'm making. You know, when you encountered me talking about that day, I said, this was the way I shot some of those things down. People say, I said, listen, let us assume now. I prayed God and I said, all right, God, I want a, let's use that car as an example again. I want a nice, maybe fairly used Toyota Highlander. And then somebody now comes next day and says, listen, for the price you will have bought a Toyota Highlander that's used, let me give you a brand new Kia Sorento. Will you accept it? If your answer is yes, then don't bother asking God for that Highlander. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Don't. If you are going to accept an alternative, don't ask for that thing. It weakens your faith. In fact, it's going to defy your conscience. Now, if I take this one now, hey, will it be that I'm not believing God? are you getting what I'm trying to explain? These are the practical things about this prayer we're talking about. This is how I pray my prayer on such things. Like I told you earlier, I just described the kind of thing I want, with my emphasis being on what I need it for. So that any good thing that comes that meets that need is of God. Are you getting my point? If I describe that very cool, I'm telling you about, after I finish, if God comes tomorrow through different ways, he gives me a Toyota Highlander, I take. If he gives a brand new Kia, what do you call it? Sorento, we drive it. If he says no, it's going to be a this sporty Ford Explorer. We take it if he says no. It's a, what's Santa Fe? What's that high-end they call again? We drive it. All of them to the glory of God and edification of humanity. Like they say it. What I want is reliability. Don't give me a car that's breaking down every 15 kilometers. Are you getting my point? That is how we pray prayer so that we will not be disturbed. People want to give them very fantastic stories. Say, I told God I wanted the color to be green and have shades of yellow under it. And there, praise God. It was a green car when it was coming. It splashed through paint and then yellow just stuck under it. It's nice and romantic. Please, it's a personal testimony. It's not the word of God. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That's why I read this particular scripture. It said, let not such a one think he will receive anything from God. Because when you pray prayers, you understand, with too many fine details that you don't even know why they are there, what you are doing is that you are making your heart unstable. Your heart is unbalanced. You start changing your mind every time. What's my message for today as part of our laws of faith when it comes to prayer? It is simple. Know exactly what you want as much as you want it and as you can understand it. If it gets to a particular level, there's no this teaching of you must be specific. No, it's not necessary. Say, I want to marry, I want to give God the height of my husband. It's unnecessary. What did I say? You know why? Because I've read through scriptures, I've looked through life. I have never seen where a man's height determines the quality of his character. So I prayed to God. This is exactly what the woman will weigh. So she'll start eating now because she's married you who demanded that she must be 62 kg. When she born two children, she will get, I mean, you said show mercy. Most times they get small. But I hope you have learned what I'm trying to explain. Some of those prayer points that people have, they are not good. What did I say? People say, draw his picture on the wall. Don't waste your time. Can you draw character on the wall? Please, can you draw character on the wall? Answer me now. The Bible says, charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. A woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Can you draw the fear of God on the wall? You now draw somebody with hand raised up to heaven worshiping. Nobody raises hand all the time. You know what I'm saying? No, see, that's why I differ. You know, my wife used to tell me that you're one of the strangest Christians I ever met. This is the reason. Everybody will be saying one thing, I'll just be looking at them. Say, do you believe that? Because after you've watched television one day, and six preachers came one day to say the same thing, I'm not moved. And I'm like, ah, are you saying all of them are wrong and you are right? Baby, I think so. That's why you're not marrying them. You're marrying me. Better believe me. I think so. I said, let's face it. How do I draw good character on the wall? How do I draw faith on the wall? What should you draw? The things that matter the most. The Bible says you must learn to approve those things that are excellent. Why do you tell me to draw things that are not important on the wall? And I can't draw the things that are really, really important on the wall. And you tell me it's the faith if I draw it on the wall. I'm sorry, I don't draw nothing. I'm not drawing anything. I'm not drawing anything. Leave it. What do I want? God, I want a very good wife who loves the Lord. You've read my book, shall I say yes? Many of you. I said the same. Three things I asked the Lord for. One, I said, I want a woman who... No. You know, I told you last time on Saturday. He says, he's a nice guy. Now you invite her and go to church and you won't marry her. Something's wrong with you. Look, you don't marry a man you are inviting to church. If it's you are inviting to another, maybe it's a ministry he doesn't know about, I understand. But that you are the one trying to encourage him to go to church. Let's put it like this. You're on your own. No? I just leave it like that. So I pray to God personally, simply. Don't marry any woman that I have to encourage to believe. No. You must believe before I know you. You must believe. You must love God. I'm not saying you must know everything. Nobody knows everything. But you must love the Lord. I ask God for that. And like, because now you've left everything you have to do this evening to come and hear me talk. How will it be that the only person that doesn't show up is my wife? Because, where are you? Sorry, I'm sending something downstairs. I'm coming. Anytime I'm preaching, my wife will say, sorry, there's one person in town. I'm coming. You've gone to go and listen. I said, no. I'm not saying it's a horrible thing, in case your wife is like that, but I wasn't planning to stomach it. I said, God, don't let it happen to me. I asked the Lord, you must give me a woman who believes that, at least, I mean, if nobody has believed, let it be one that I believe that I can teach. I'm called to teach. Believes the anointing of God on my head. And then God answered that prayer. She said to my mentor, teacher, and husband, hey, I said, God, thank you. Yeah, like they say, Yahwa. Yahwa. if you've done NYC or you've been in the barracks, anyway, any soldiers are drilling you. You know, pray Sean. You know, the first one we hear is machine gun, bring Sean. Like every foot landed at different times. So they will drill you. Finally, you go, pray Sean. Wham. They'll say something like that. if you've been to NYC like that, you hear the soldiers how they do it. They say something like that. So that day when I saw her, I told the Lord something like that. Draw height on the wall, draw complexion of the wall, draw shape on the wall. No, I ain't drawing nothing like that. If you cannot draw a good heart on the wall, leave that wall alone. If you don't know how to draw a good heart on the wall, please. What did I say? Leave the wall alone. If you know how to draw a good heart, shape like the heart and paint it white. If that's what you think, that's good. Otherwise, please, leave the wall alone. Stop drawing pictures that if God gave you an alternative, you will accept. Are you getting my point? I mean, you know, you've seen, guys, you know what I'm saying? You've seen many fine women in this world, and all of them don't look alike. I've seen very beautiful Chinese people. You've not seen before? There's Miss Japan, I hope you know. Yes, there's Miss Malaysia, there's Miss Japan, there's Miss Nigeria, there's Miss Hong Kong, there's Miss everything. Please, I hope you have what I'm going to explain. And all of this one is because you watch too many films anyway. If all you are doing is reading Bible. I'm telling you, your desires will change you. Or you'll be looking for any girl called Abigail. You could pursue them like this. You go on Facebook, you just somebody, Abigail, you couldn't find the person. Why? It's not your fault. You read the story of David. It's true. Alright? So that's the point I'm going to make. When I say know exactly what you want, don't let the world, let me just add this one to it so that let's close, our time is gone. We'll read the other scripture later. That's the one from James chapter 4. Don't let the world, all right? Don't let them give you standards that are not of God. You know, personally, you know Beyonce. I have a bad impression of that girl. You know why? Just one reason. The first time I saw her, I thought she was selling underwear. It was in Gill Online. I used to go there, not now that we have internet everywhere. Then you had to go to the cyber cafe to be able to do anything online. When I go and check my mails and do stuff on the web, I used to go to Gill Online that time. And there was this big poster there. And they put on it, Beyonce sold here. I thought it was Beyonce. I didn't know how to pronounce it. So it didn't concern me. I thought it was a brand of underwears. I thought the woman there was a model wearing pata and bra for people to buy. So I just passed. I used to pass. Until, I don't know where I was one day, and I heard that Beyonce was a musician. I said, wait, then why was she naked? No, that poster, I didn't think anything. I just used to pass. Like, okay, poster did there. All right. You know, nothing. You know, there are many posters, some of them evil, some of them righteous. There are all kinds of posters in this world. You don't think about all these things. So I just saw Beyonce sold there. I was so sure it was a brand of underwear because the person on the photo was wearing underwear. So since that day till now, any girl that looks like Beyonce is not fine. That is, it's unconscious in my body. That is just unconscious. Why? Because I say, why do you dress nakedly? Why are you a bad influence on the generations of human beings? Did they smoke for your family? You know that kind of thing. I just wonder. What's my reason? Because I have a godly idea of how women should behave. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I'm going to bring out an issue here. Let's be careful that the world does not teach us what to like and what to dislike. Like I say all the time, some people are praying to God. They want those days, Hummer. They wanted to drive a Hummer. They didn't know what was inside them. Now they have removed Hummer now. It's not common anymore. What happened to all the ones we had in Nigeria then? You know the way these things are, they all vanished. They have only one or two. Some of them don't break down. Maybe the guys, you know, they were in politics that time. Now they are broke. They can't sell it. Nobody wants to buy. They don't jack the thing for backyards from one village. And that's the end of it. Now people are having new prayer points. Don't let the world dictate your prayer point. What did I say? Don't let the world dictate your prayer point. Do not let the world dictate your prayer point. Know exactly what you want. Let me leave that message there. Our time has gone. I thought I would be able to dispense of these two, but I spent the whole time talking about the fact that we don't need deliverance. And I've just saved somebody today. If it's only the person's money, the person has been saved. Don't forget my warning. Don't go there. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? I hope you are hearing. Don't go there. And they say if I don't deliverance now, I know my aunties, they have problems. Maybe me too, I'll have problems. And when I marry, this won't happen. Let me tell you, if you go for that deliverance, three times that will happen. Let me say it again. Don't go there. What did I say? Don't open your head for every kind of creature to lay hands on you. Some people go to TB Joshua's church and queue up to be laid hands on. Do you want to die suddenly? A man who doesn't believe in God will be laying hands on your head. Please, don't go there. Beg your family people that you will pray for them. They don't have to waste their money. And you must not join them. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, hey, by adventure, so you are thinking that who came to report you to me? I don't know. Nobody reported you. It's the Holy Spirit that dragged you here and put a word in my mouth. I don't even know who I'm talking to. But let me just end with one word again. What is that word? If you're blessed, they shout a loud amen. Let's just bow our heads and just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Because your word is good. Your word is liberating. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. Say, Lord, I thank you because indeed I am free. In the name of Jesus Christ. It's well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Goodness is your portion in Jesus' name. Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus. As you go out and as you come in, the angels of God, they will protect you and deliver you from all troubles in the name of Jesus Christ. Abundant provisions is yours in the name of Jesus. That thing which you need, which you do not even know, that supply will be waiting for you at that moment of need in the name of Jesus Christ. Doors that were closed that are important for your destiny, they will open for you in the name of Jesus. No evil will befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling place in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of you, because you believe the word of God, this nation will be preserved in safety. It will be preserved in prosperity. It will be preserved in righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ.